Welcome, everyone, to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. I'm Ryan Muhammad, writer and moderator with Becker's Healthcare. And I'm thrilled to have with me today Dr. Boris C. Pasch, President and CEO at Karmano Cancer Institute. Doctor, welcome back to the podcast. We're very excited to have you join us today as we discuss recent advances in cancer treatment and how those advances will likely affect cancer care. So, to get us started, would you mind please introducing yourself and telling us a bit about your background?
Sure, happy to. Thank you for the invitation. As you pointed out, my name is Boris Pasch. I'm MD, PhD. I received my MD from the Karolinska Institute in Sweden and Stockholm, and from the University of Lausanne in Switzerland, and a PhD from the Karolinska Institute in Sweden. I did my training in internal medicine at New York Hospital Cornell Medical Center, my fellowship in hematology oncology at Sloan Kettering. Also did a postdoc fellowship at Harvard Medical School at the Brigham and Women's Hospital. Following that, I was the founder of the cancer genetics program at Northwestern University. And then I moved to Alabama, where I was chief of hematology and oncology and deputy director of the cancer center. After that, I remained in the South and was director of the Comprehensive Cancer Center and chair of the Department of Cancer Biology at Wake Forest Baptist Comprehensive Cancer Center in North Carolina. For the past year and 2 months, I've moved to Detroit, and I'm quite excited to be the director of the Comprehensive Cancer Center here and the chair of the Department of Oncology at Wayne State University.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for giving us that background. So, if it's possible, can you talk about some of the most recent advances in treatment? I know when we chatted before the call, you mentioned three types of therapies that are exciting for oncologists and for patients. Theranostics is one treatment methodology that is gaining traction. Can you kind of explain why and what's happening there?
Sure. It's actually a fairly old concept that arose more than 30 years ago, which was using antibodies to target tumor cells and to try to tag these antibodies with poisons or radiation therapy so that the antibody would only target the tumor. These concepts have been tested in multiple studies and began to gain traction more than 10 years ago when the first application, which was in the field of neuroendocrine tumors, showed that there was a great benefit for patients to receive these treatments. More recently, the FDA approved both the neuroendocrine tumor option as well as the prostate cancer therapy, which is based on the PSA, the prostate-specific antigen, the PSA being the targets, so that these therapies will go where the cells that produce PSA are located. So the major breakthrough came through several studies that showed a survival benefit, so essentially patients living longer when they were receiving these treatments with prostate cancer, once they had failed at least one line of systemic therapy, usually chemotherapy. It was shown that when they received this treatment, they lived longer. So this therapy is administered through the IV. It's an antibody that is radioactive, and the patient usually stay for a few hours. In Europe, they stay overnight in the hospital. In the US, we keep the patient for a few hours, and then they go home, and then we follow up usually with additional treatments. The FDA-approved therapy for prostate cancer is a maximum of six treatments. Most patients will receive less than six treatments, but this is quite an exciting new option. This option is, of course, not limited to neuroendocrine tumors and prostate cancer. Rather, it has been now tested and is tested at Karmanos in many other tumor types. So I think it's a major development because it offers a new approach to cancer therapy that is targeted and uses different agents that will be more specific than a radiation therapy, let's say, of the whole body. There are also some caveats with these therapies, is that these radiation itself causes some damage to the bone marrow, and we have seen a patient with drop in blood counts, let's say low white blood cells, low platelets. And because this patient frequently have bone marrow involvement of their tumor, it's a fine line between finding the patient that will benefit from this without being too much affected by having a bone marrow that is weakened by these therapies. So we are learning, but it is certainly a novel, exciting option. And many pharma companies, biotech companies are testing this approach for other tumor types with other agents, other antibodies. But I would say this is now a proven novel approach that adds one more weapon for the treatment of advanced cancer.
Yeah, wow, that amazing information. Thank you so much for sharing that. Definitely a lot of important things that you just mentioned there. And then also another recent advance I know we want to discuss is immunotherapy. Can you kind of explain what's new there?
Sure. For many years, people have tried to understand why does the immune system not recognize cancer cells. And that has been a vexing issues for decades, where we realize that patient can be perfectly healthy, don't get more frequently sick than others, but still have a cancer that developed, and the immune system seems to be perfectly content with this tumor developing without ever attacking the tumor. So the goal was, how can we rev up this immune system, the immune system of patients with cancer, to attack the tumor? So many studies had been done with various approaches, and really the breakthrough has been the identification of the break that blocks the immune system from attacking tumors. And this is called the PD-1 and the PD-L1. These are two, both a ligand and a receptor that essentially in the body are activated and prevent the immune system from recognizing tumor cells. Using agents that block this PD-1 and PD-L1, researchers were able to demonstrate first in animal model and then in patients that in certain tumor types and certain patients, you can reactivate the patient's own immune system to attack the tumor. And while this is not entirely new, it has been around for almost a decade now, we have learned more and more about this technology. First, that these antibodies are usually quite well tolerated. They can be administered repeatedly to patients with a fairly low rate of side effects. Sometimes the revved up immune system will attack the human body. That can be the skin, it can be the thyroid gland, and sometimes we need to stop treatment because of that. And sometimes, but it's quite rare, probably 5% of patients will have a side effect. It's usually well tolerated, does not decrease the blood count. And when it works like magic, because if patient responds, you can rev up the immune system and the tumors start to shrink or stop growing without the addition of chemotherapy or other agent. You are really utilizing the body own immune system to attack the tumor. There are several caveats. It doesn't work in all tumors, and overall only maybe 10 to 20% of patients will benefit from immunotherapy. We also know that some diseases are more likely to respond to immunotherapy than others. So to start with one that don't seem to respond much, pancreatic cancer, for example, seems to be unresponsive to immunotherapy. Colon cancer, on the other hand, seems to be responsive to immunotherapy for all patients that have a tumor that is heavily mutated. The same applies for lung cancer. We have now predictors for response to immunotherapy, and a fraction of patients of both colon cancer, lung cancer, responds to the therapy. melanoma has been a disease that has been that has had a higher response rate to these therapies than other tumor types. So we are learning which tumors respond best, which tumors respond less. And over the past 5 years, there has been more and more application of immunotherapy in multiple tumor types, both for the treatment of advanced disease, stage four metastatic disease, but also after treatments, let's say what we call adjuvant treatment, after surgery, after chemotherapy, radiation therapy with a curative intent. So it's a very exciting development that has brought new options for patients, and I've been very impressed by it. So that's one of the approach. Another one called CAR T cells has also been a revolution in cancer, mostly for patients with liquid tumor, leukemia, lymphomas. And this treatment involves removing the patient's T cells, which is a subset of the white blood cells, and teaching them to identify cancer cells and destroy them. And then we re-inject these cells back to the patients. We're involved in multiple clinical trials and the use of CAR T-cell treatment, and Karmanos was one of the 18 worldwide sites that led, that conducted the trial that led to the approval to these CAR T-cells. So when it works remarkably well, and also very low rates of side effects. There are some side effects that look like fever, like the flu, but they are temporary, and the treatments are quite effective. So I would say these are the two major development in the field of immunotherapy that have changed the game and offered new potential for cure and long-term disease control in many patients.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like that. Again, a great information that you just shared. And doctor, before I let you go, there's one other thing that I really wanted to ask you. Can you tell us a little bit about the potential of radiofrequency treatment?
Sure. So we were the principal developer of a novel technology that uses radiofrequency electromagnetic field for the treatment of cancer. This was based on the identification of frequencies in patients with cancer that are likely to be able to block cancer treatment. To sum up the many years of research, we examined patients with cancer and exposed them to low level of radio waves like a cell phone. And we modulate these waves at specific frequencies ranging from very low to very high frequencies and measured whenever there was a change in the pulse pressure. Pulse pressure is the intensity of the pulse. We identified multiple frequencies that were always the same in patients with the same disease. Fast forward, we developed a novel medical device to deliver these frequencies to patients by means of a portable battery operated device connected to a cable that ends with a spoon that the patient placed on the anterior part of their tongue for the treatment. What we found is that when we administer these frequencies to the patient with the corresponding tumor, we could block the growth of tumor, in some cases shrink the tumor for a long period of time. Fast forward, we received FDA approval last year for the use of this technology in treating advanced liver cancer, also called hepatocellular carcinoma, and CMS, the Center for Medical Services, issued a new CPT code, and these devices will become available in the next few weeks at Karmanos and then will be distributed throughout the entire country as the only approach that is approved by the FDA to treat advanced liver cancer that has failed two lines of therapies.
Wow. Well, that is very, very exciting news. Thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you so much for, you know, coming back on the podcast. It's definitely been an informative discussion. So again, I want to thank you so much for coming on, Beckers. I'm going to look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Thank you very much. Great to speak with you. I appreciate the opportunity. Bye-bye.